feminism is so bad.
Yeah, it's toxic.
I think we should make the word feminist have exactly the same connotations as racist.
Yes. Let's start calling people a feminist.
Oh, you're a feminist. Yes. How dare you accuse me of feminism? I'm suing you for defamation.
I love it. I've been saying restore the patriarchy for a long time, but I think we need to go further and say use feminist as a derogatory, which it is.
Let's do it, everybody. This is our mission for the week. When someone comes up to you and says something completely unreasonable and happens to be a woman when they do it, just go, I use this word really lightly. I mean, really, I try to use this word rarely, but I think you're a feminist. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Fox and Father, with me, the Fox, and him,
the Father.
It's a show where Calvin tries to tutor me in the ways of righteousness, sometimes failing, sometimes succeeding. But I think in the long term, it's going better than...
I tend to agree.
Do you?
You're becoming more and more righteous.
Am I becoming more and more normal?
I don't know about normal, but normal's not a thing to aim for, is it?
No, definitely it isn't a thing to aim for.
We just had a meeting where, like, I don't know if it's too personal for this, but 5 years ago when we first sat in a room and you were thinking about starting Reclaim, you were like, whoa, this is intimidating. You had all these people coming at you from every direction. And we just sat in a meeting and you were owning it. You were like, we need to do this, that, and that. That policy won't work. This, like, you've come a long way in this political square.
That's such a nice compliment. But the meeting you're talking about, which is great, is for all of those, you know, the dissident, the hated, the cancelled, the not wanted. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to tell you a list of the people who are in the room, but there's some pretty famous people in the room and some pretty very famous people coming who aren't even English. So, to start this bottom-up movement, which we're keen on, you know, we'll get onto the general election, but ultimately I think, you know, politicians, you have to give up so much to be a politician, don't you?
You do. It's a major sacrifice. You have to sacrifice your soul.
You do. You do. Anyway, before we get on to that, Calvo, how are you, sir?
I am very well, thank you.
Good. Yeah. Why are you so well?
I've left London.
You've left?
I have. I moved out. I shoved all my stuff in storage, like literally just boxed it up into a container, and I moved to Cambridge.
And you are?
Took two suitcases with me and I'm gone.
You're gone. And how does it feel being out?
That's amazing. I love it. I mean, it's a pain in the backside getting down to Swindon for the Lotus Eaters.
Oh, God. But how do you do that? London, Swindon?
Yeah.
London, across London, then down Swindon. Exactly.
It's the crossing London that's the night. Getting across London is a nightmare these days.
Is it Liverpool Street Central Line across to Paddington?
Cambridge, King's Cross, then somehow get from King's Cross to Paddington, and then from Paddington down to Swindon.
But you're doing it.
Pete
Hitchens is upset about you doing it.
He is very upset, bless him.
What's
that about? Let's not talk about him again because it'll be too much at this point. There's an internet spat. I said something I think was harmless, just a decent challenge. But some people do not like being challenged, and he's gone on a tirade against me. I wish him well.
I wish him well as well. I wish him well because he's a person who follows no people on the internet.
Yeah.
So he must only look at his notifications to see when he's mentioned. And
surely he must have lists or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, don't get me started on Twitter lists. What do I know?
How are you?
I'm very good.
Good.
Because...
you heard that, ladies and gents. He said very good.
I am. I'm very, very good because it's the right... I'm so excited about... No, I wrote a long Twitter post. Yeah. I realised this, actually. It was really interesting. I wrote this long Twitter post thinking, oh, no one will read that. It got read by nearly 1 million people.
Oh, I didn't read it. It was too long.
Thanks a lot, mate. You could get into the vagaries of my incredible...
I was like, what is it? You've moved out of London. Okay, we get it.
Oh, we get it, dick. But anyway, I wrote it in a feeling I felt as I was going, this is why I'm leaving.
Was it lethargic?
It was really cathartic. It was mainly about my landlord and what a absolute bastard he's been. Oh. So you've been very kind to say that I've come a good way when it comes to political thinking. Mm. But my politics and our politics, as we know, are not popular. And certainly when your landlord is part of the LGBTQ+ community and very, very on side with the whole philosophy. Right. So I'm not sure.
So when you're burning flags in his garden.
Well, he demanded the rent up front, which was the best part of 50 grand for a year. You've been to the house. It ain't that nice.
Well, I mean, it's a nice place, but 50 grand is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. So the incentive for him was not to do anything. So whenever you run a tap upstairs.
Right. Yeah.
It stinks of sewage downstairs. Right. And it's like...
He has no incentive to help.
None. Yeah. And I just thought it's so typical of how much people don't care about each other. So anyway, I did that. And by the time this airs, I will be, Lizzie and I will be probably sat on the floor. Maybe we'll get some furniture out by that point. Sat on the floor in the new Chateau La Fox.
Amazing.
So Chateau La Fox and soon to be Mrs. Fox. So it's very, it's oh God, I can't tell you. And in the post, I basically said, I haven't been counting down the hours or the days. I've been counting down the seconds.
Yeah.
Because when you're confronted, now you can tell me this in the spiritual thing, because someone described it to me as when you're making good changes, the devil holds on the tightest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is it about? I've had some absolute nightmares for the last few weeks, just as it comes, builds up to the moving day, which is today and tomorrow. Why is that?
When you're going to do something good, or when you're going to experience something good, when something good is coming up in your life, the enemy does not like it. He wants you to be miserable. He wants you to be full of sin. He doesn't want you to be joyful. He doesn't want you to be in God's good grace. And so he will cling on to you. Mm. And so if you're going through a threshold, if you're going through some kind of gateway, whether it's physical or metaphorical, you'll go through those things, that spiritual attack.
Yeah, it is a spiritual attack, and it's real. And as we always try and say, the whole of what's going on, and we said that in the meeting, both of us, this morning. And actually, it didn't get greeted with as much... No. Aggro as I thought it would get. I said it's really important that we remember it's a spiritual conflict, because people use the words good and evil, like we've discussed a million times. Chopping off children's dicks is evil.
Well, I was surprised, actually, the whole conversation, everyone was on board with this. You know, this is a Christian country and these are Christian values, and this is important for all of us, whether you're Christian or not.
Yeah,
that's something shifted.
And you said something in the meeting about the fact that the reason it's important that it's a Christian country is because Christianity is a religion.
Well, this is where we get our freedom of worship from.
Right.
Because if you live in a predominantly Christian country, you have the freedom to choose to follow Christ or not to follow Christ, because we're not an oppressive faith. Like, it's all about free will. This is what God gave us. Whereas other faiths are not necessarily that way. And you live in a country that's predominantly of another faith, you have to subscribe or you can lose your head. But also, it's about our rights, right? Our rights literally come from God. They are God-ordained rights. This is why we have the right to private property, the right to free speech. All these things come from the scriptures. Whereas we live in an age where people say, no, the government gives you your rights.
Yeah.
And one of our friends would say, actually, the government should defend your rights. The government doesn't give you your rights. They have no place to...
They've got that so backwards, haven't they?
Yeah.
That's one of my main problems with the suicide of the West, is that in our search to be so unequivocally liberal and right on and trendy, that we've lost any sense of national identity. Which brings me on to what happened in general election, Calv.
Oh well, it was good. It was a good thing.
0 seats didn't work there, did it?
Well, they were never going to get zero. This is the oldest political party in the world. They were never going to get actual zero, but it's a good target to set. And if you look at it, they were demolished. They had the worst defeat in history.
Yeah.
That's something to celebrate. We've sent a message that we will not stand for any more of what they've been giving us.
But you're not sad that Andrew Jenkins didn't keep us seat? Miriam Cates didn't keep us seat?
I'm sad that they didn't keep us seats. Yeah, absolutely.
It seems like collateral damage.
It is collateral damage.
Bombing.
But you can't go to war without any collateral damage. And we were at war.
Yeah. And reforms showing?
I mean, we knew that Labour were going to win. But they didn't get a landslide. Their victory was kind of hollow, really, shallow.
They didn't get many more voted for them.
Well, Jeremy Corbyn in the last two elections got more votes than Keir Starmer did in this one. So actually, people didn't vote for Labour. They voted against the Conservatives, or they didn't vote at all.
Yeah.
And many, many people voted for reform. 4 million people is a very big number of people that said, actually, we want something different. We want change.
But weirdly, 4 million people, so it's a million votes per seat to reform.
I know.
I don't want to get into long, boring discussions about electoral reform, but that's got to say something to the British people, that the system is so unbelievably rigged against any form of insurgent party. But I was pretty pleased. I thought it was a very English result, which was not everything that you thought would happen sort of did. Like, Jake predicted exactly what would happen and said they'll get 3 or 4 or 5. You know, it won't be a reform takeover. And I was sad to see the end of Miriam Cates, and I'm sad to see the end of Andrew Jenkins, but really annoyed that Richard Holden kept Billericay Dicky kept his seat by just a few hundred votes.
He's resigned though, hasn't he?
Has he?
Yeah.
I hope he goes to work in a car phone warehouse. That's where I believe he belongs.
Suella kept her seat. There are still a number of Conservatives left, which is good, but if you look at Rishi's shadow cabinet, it's all the wets. He kept Pretty out. He kept Suella out. Who else did he keep out? Basically, anyone that was Conservative, kept them out of his shadow cabinet.
They're going to go even more woke, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
It's, I mean, what a fucking joke. Fleek sweating, sorry. But what a joke.
I know.
What is it in someone's mindset that you lose? I mean, maybe they feel, I'm just trying to steel man their position. They feel that they're so right that people are attacking them because they're so right.
No, they're just full of wets. Suella Braverman gave, as we record this, yesterday, she gave a great speech at NatCon where she said, look, it made me feel physically sick walking into a government building and having that child mutilation flag up. We should not be about that. We should be better than that. Mm. And I agree with her. But all the wets are out on Twitter. All the Conservatives, like the councillors across the country, going, oh, no, we can't be saying that. That's, it's like, what do you mean you can't be saying that? Her rhetoric is too strong. Like, her rhetoric is on point. This is what we need to be talking about. This is the reason you guys lost. If you're saying she's gone too far by pointing out what's the obvious to most people in this country, then you guys are the extremists. You are the problem.
They are the problem.
And they won't learn.
I sensed your... also, my dad came around to have dinner and I was talking through the... We ended up having a row, actually, which is rare for us. But it's all fine now. Mm-hmm. But we had, you know, he was totally on your mindset, which is like zero seats.
Yeah.
For them. That's what they deserve. Yeah, it's like they need to be utterly wiped out.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't get utterly wiped out. They've probably just given themselves... I mean, what happens now? This is what I want to know. What's coming?
We're at a crossroads, right? So the Tories are going to regroup. Any of the Tories go even further wetter. Even they, you know, they go, well, we're too far right wing. We have to go further to the centre. We always win in the centre. Either they go that stupid, deluded route, or they go, maybe we'll try the Conservative thing for a bit. But we as a country have a choice in the next 5 years to decide whether we want to give them that chance or fully go gung-ho for someone like Reform. And I think this election has shown us that we can break that uniparty cycle. We can vote for an alternative party and it can make a difference. And if all the people that voted Conservative now go to Reform, plus some of the Labour voters in the red seats go to Reform, maybe something could happen.
It'll be like the Brexit. It'll be like Brexit. I feel fairly optimistic because I think that the only thing that was going to be worse than the Conservatives was Labour. So after 5 years of Labour, people are going to be so fed up that I don't think they'll last more than one term.
Perhaps even some of the Liberals will come around because they'll have no one to blame. They can't be like, oh, it's the blooming Tories, because it will be Labour that's in government causing all the problems, and Labour are going to cause problems.
Yeah.
Already the policies they're coming out with are atrocious.
This is, I also have a very strong sense that now is the time to slightly sit on one's hand and wait for them to really overreach.
Yeah.
Because they're going to. And they're, you know, utopia is a bad place to try and build.
Yeah.
Especially when man does it. So
end up in the gulags.
Yeah. This is the thing that the left do so well. There was a thing yesterday where Keir Starmer said, I'm going to let all the prisoners out so we can have more stabbing.
The prisons are too full. Let's let them out.
Let's let them out. Let's see what they're doing.
That's one way to solve the problem of prisons being too full.
Yeah, just empty them. So, and then he said he's going to redistribute all of the stabbings around the country equitably.
Great. That is equality for all.
Equality of stabbing for all is socialism.
People are not safe. This is a problem. We do need things to get worse for people to wake up, but at the same time, people are not safe under a Labour government.
It's going to take what they call, what a friend of mine calls, the Millie Dowler moment. So the Millie Dowler moment was when everyone knew that the newspapers were behaving appallingly. Everyone knew that they were crappy and they'd go behind people's backs and they'd do that. But it took one newspaper to hack into a young murdered girl's phone and to give the family and the parents hope that she was still alive.
Yeah.
For the whole of public opinion to turn on the newspapers.
That's true.
And it will, over immigration and cultural takeover and all of the stuff that we're going through, it's going to take a Millie Dowler moment. It's going to take one of these posh entitled people's kids being stabbed or gang raped by a group of cultural enrichers for people to change their
minds. I think this is already happening, but they're so entrenched. So there's that story, I don't want to talk about too much because I talked about it on The Common Sense, but there's that story of that woman who said, I lied about the ethnicity of my rapers. You know, she was sexually abused and she lied about their ethnicity because she didn't want to cause a racist incident. Like, imagine that.
Well, she was worried about being accused of being...
Or people seeing it as a racist incident. Like, race may or may not have come into it, but to hide the ethnicity, to lie about it, means that, A, they're not going to get caught, but other people are at risk. This is how deluded these people are.
There was another similar example of that in America, where a guy... There's an account on Twitter called Shania, which covers the people that capture child abusers or people that are trying to meet up with kids and molest them. Wow. And there's an American version of it as well. And this guy was going to meet up with a 13-year-old boy to take him to the cinema. And he was caught and captured. And it being America, they don't do it like they do it in England. When they capture them in England, they just sit them down and they sit on them if they need to, but they hold them still and they give them water and stuff until the police arrive. But in America, they don't.
Billy Bob, get the gun.
They slap them around a bit.
Okay.
Anyway, this woman came over and tried to make sure that this guy was okay because he was brown and she didn't want it to look bad that, that he as a person, as a paedophile of colour, he needed protecting,
Oh my goodness.
Why don't you get the good treatment? You're of colour.
I'm the wrong colour.
What colour should you be? You should be my colour.
Well, again, it's not the actual colour, is it? It's the fact that I'm no longer coloured because of my opinions. My opinions override my colour. I did go down to the police station and had a good chat with them about a good professor friend of ours. Yeah.
Tell me.
Well, I just said, look, you can't call me a house negro, a coon, a coconut, and an Uncle Tom and get away with it. Mm-hmm. That's clearly racist. If that was the other shoe on the foot, that would be hate speech. What are you going to do about it? And the police officers were like, "Well, that's pretty racist. Why is he saying that about you?" Good question.
Oh, good. So is Professor Kehinde going to get?
I don't know. Something's happening.
I hope someone does go up to Professor Kehinde and he's like, "Oh, what? You're all coconuts too." They're putting him in handcuffs.
But I don't know if you saw his video, but the whole argument is just
that I did see it.
You can call people racist if they disagree with you. If they don't think like me, you can call them racist names.
Well, we were talking about it last week, weren't we? This misappropriation of language, like the affirming, gender-affirming care. It's not gender-affirming care, it's mutilating children.
The enemy twists language.
The enemy has a clever tongue. That wonderful difference, the thing of stretching out the difference between sex and gender, all that sort of stuff. Anyway, okay, well, that's good that you complained about Kehinde. The election, I think we're actually heading in a positive direction but then look at the French election.
Yeah, well, this is it again. They collude, don't they? They do anything they possibly can to stop. More people voted for Le Pen than have ever before, than did for any other party as well. In this, she should have been in government. But of course, the left colluded. So Macron colluded with the communists in order to prevent Macron getting in. And actually, when I said this is wrong, someone said to me, "Yeah, but isn't that what Reform did? No, Brexit Party did." And I thought, "Yeah, but actually, it was wrong then too to stand those 200 candidates down so the Conservatives could get in at that time. Farage shouldn't have done that, and Macron shouldn't have done it either."
No, but Macron is a
let people have their vote.
Macron is I think I don't know how we deal with the voting system. Because people, once when I was standing in one of my hugely successful by-election stands, this guy, I was trying to give leaflets out. I can't tell you the number of people who just walked past. Don't talk to me about politics. Don't. There's such a large proportion of the public out there who just see the whole thing as utterly horrible. And
politics is not the answer. No politician is going to save us. There's one Lord and Saviour. Yeah, we can address the politics, we can address the issues and try to work towards it, but we've got to have faith in Jesus. Yep. That's the truth of the matter.
It does definitely improve. There isn't any... I don't feel hope when I see a bunch of politicians.
No. I mean, even getting five or six Reform politicians in is good, great, it's lovely, but they are not going to save us.
Sadly, Bridgen didn't get in.
Did not? Oh.
No, Bridgen only got 1,000 and a bit votes.
But I thought the independent vote was.
Are you mocking me?
Name recognition was important. No.
Are you mocking him?
I'm not mocking anyone.
Mocking anybody.
I'm just saying, I thought name recognition would have had some sway.
I was astonished. I mean, I thought it goes to show how much people are done with COVID.
Mm.
like it's not going to be something that people are going to stand on. I think maybe there's a national sense of denial. Didn't happen. Oh my God.
I genuinely just don't think there is a personal vote. I don't think it exists. Well, if it does, it's very slim. I think politicians overestimate their own importance and what their personal vote is.
My personal vote was huge.
Okay.
Not. Okay. So let's first up, usually it's an envelope, but due to a staffing issue. My refusal to go to Ryman's. I've just been too busy packing boxes. So
right.
I haven't been to Ryman's. So we're going to do what we did last week, and we're going to do a tweet that we both thought about. We're going to talk about, and you have a tweet.
Okay, let's play a tweet. This is Jess Phillips.
Everything was about driving content. So these people weren't ashamed of the way that they were behaving. They were doing it and filming themselves, then putting it on the internet. So when Sadiq Khan came, like sort of men wearing masks driving past shouting, I won't say what they were saying because, you know, it's a family show, shouting stuff about Sadiq Khan's mother. And they're not ashamed. They're putting it on the internet to incite other people to do the same.
You think this is new, this type of campaigning?
Well, the filming element and the content driver is definitely the first time we're seeing that in a general election.
It's on TikTok, but, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, I think that the canary in the mine for me actually was the Scottish referendum. The Brexit referendum was similar as well, got a bit caustic and nasty. But yeah, you know, these people were standing on a platform of helping the people of Gaza.
Is it sectarian?
It's too simple to say that it's sectarian because, like I say, and people want desperately for me to announce that the people who were shouting at me and barracking me were Muslim men. The fact that they were men is actually quite significant to me. The fact that they were Muslim is not significant because the Muslim people in my constituency didn't behave like this. These people were idiots. They didn't do it because they were Muslim. They did it because they were idiots.
Okay. What do you think?
How do you unwrap that? So a bunch of sectarian Muslim people who are more interested in Gaza and Jew-hating than they are in Britain got elected into Parliament.
Shame.
Five of them. Jess Phillips held on to her seat. She got barracked and heckled by these... I think she gets it wrong that it's men. I think one of the reasons why she was getting the grief was because she was a woman.
Mm.
Because obviously you don't have a lot of... you know, female politicians, do you in Gaza? I don't imagine the leadership of Hamas is female heavy.
No, I imagine
it may even be toxically masculine. But anyway, this idea that this piece of dreadful whataboutery to try and distract from the fact that she was being heckled by an Islamic mob.
Yeah.
And to say it was somehow deflected into toxic masculinity for me is about, it's just representative of what a bit of a thicko Jess Phillips is.
Well, she's gaslighting. She don't believe your eyes. It's not because they're Muslim. That's nothing to do with it. Their faith has nothing to do, but their sex does. It's because they're men. Like, wait a minute, what?
She doesn't like men very much, Jess Phillips, does she?
Well, she used the argument of not all Muslims, but then what about not all men? Like the logic doesn't stand up. She's afraid to call a spade a spade. We know what the problem is. We know who the people were that were attacking her. And until she admits it, they'll continue to attack her and everyone else in her parliament. And so she's feeding the crocodile.
She's feeding the crocodile. Her hands are definitely in the crocodile's mouth. But she's also probably had quite a lot of Muslims voted for her.
It's difficult, isn't it, for them?
Why?
For the Labour Party, because they rely on the Mohammedan bloc vote. But at the same time, they're receiving abuse from them now.
Do you think we're going to see a rise in sectarian voting in the UK?
We absolutely are. To have five Islamists elected into our parliament, first of all, it should be legal.
You've made this point before, and I actually like it.
Against the law. But what are we going to do about it?
Make it against the law?
Well, I mean, Labour aren't they?
Well, Labour will pander to the child mutilation cult.
But is someone going to get stabbed again? Is someone going to get shot again? This has happened in recent memory to our politicians.
Mm.
Like, when are they going to learn?
Why don't they learn?
It's cognitive dissonance, isn't it?
What? But surely the overwhelming majority of people... I mean, you can't go any... Brendan Cox, that charming little sex offender, or alleged sex offender, he did apologise for his behaviour. Former husband of Joe Cox, on the morning of the election, just posted a picture of Joe Cox.
Yeah, I saw that, that emotional blackmail.
And it was just like...
like, God rest her soul, but don't do that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like... I thought that was the most tasteless thing I've ever seen. So there's been one British politician who's been murdered by a so-called white supremacist. I mean, sounds like crazy nut job, lunatic, lone wolf for me, but could have been a white supremacist, don't know. Probably was. And then you get a series of the other way round, but it's Joe Cox, Joe Cox, Joe Cox, Joe Cox everywhere. Now, it's a tragedy that any MP should lose their life for representing their constituents. But the idea that it's not a major problem that people are being intimidated out of office and, you know, openly in front of people on TV, they don't mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy, the Green Party guy, that environmentalist, the one who really cares about, you know, net zero and net Christians, net zero Christians.
It's true. But what is it that people like Jess Phillips do not see the truth, or are they lying?
I think it's a combination of appeasement and guilt.
Okay.
So I think kids are taught in school to feel guilty about colonialism. So guilty that when you see the dinghies of people coming into Britain, you go, this is our punishment. We deserve this because we exported our language around the earth. And I take you back to the boring statistic, but it was 200,000 people around the British Empire. So that required cooperation.
It's just such an ignorant view of history. Like the Indians, for example, asked for the British Empire to rule India. And there were very few English people in India. Now, look at where my family's from, Jamaica. The most recent poll, Jamaicans wish they were still part of the British Empire, because look at what's happened since they left. Like, the empire was objectively good. Yes, there were bad parts of it, and we should address those in our history too. But this ignorant revisionist history of, oh, we were this evil force around the world that captured and conquered, it's like, no. Spread the English language, spread faith, spread the idea of charity, hospitals, schools. Like, there's a lot of good to be talked about. I don't understand this guilt. Where does it come from?
Do you think there's a link between the... because obviously Christianity is the only religion that is you can't branch to criticise. I mean, Jews, obviously, because, you know, they're even worse. But, I mean, actually, Jews get it much worse than Christians. But you can openly criticise Christians and you can openly criticise Christian nations. And so it's interesting, that link, isn't it? Whereas, you know, you can't criticize, I don't know, Bashar al-Assad murdering a bunch, a huge number of Muslim people in his own country, because, you know, it was Bashar al-Assad. We can't criticize Islam the most. Why are we doing it? I don't want my grandchildren in burqas or niqabs. It's certainly the one that really gets my nut, and I know Boris Johnson got called a racist for this, but the conversation has moved on slightly. It's where you can only see someone's eyes.
Yeah,
that's an affront to my understanding of how I read someone.
It's just inhumane. I think it's the devil whispering in people's ears. I think it's because Christianity is the truth, and there is one objective truth, that is Jesus Christ, and the enemy is saying, attack Christianity, attack Christianity, attack God, attack God. That's why everything else is fine. Everything else is, you know, you would never criticize Islam or Sikhism or Hinduism or anything else, but Christianity is the one you can attack because it is the truth, and the enemy is scared of the truth.
What would you say to someone who said that God wills this mass conversion?
God permits what's going on for our own good. I mean, there's probably a sanctification process going on right now. When you look at this country, we lost or abandoned our faith after the two big world wars, and we're kind of having to find it again and having to fight for it again, because we were so entitled, and kind of we've never had to fight for our faith. We never had to fight for what we believe in, but now we do. As Christians, we have to stand up and say, no, this is the truth, this is what I believe.
People are getting much more based as well.
Yeah.
And as I've said before, with the younger generation,
invested in it.
They are based. They do not care about any of this crap that's being taught to them. They understand. The thing that we were talking about at the meeting today is that hope, optimism, making our flag, because our flag is beautiful.
It's a good flag.
Actually, as far as flags go. Yeah.
That's why so many other countries in the world had our flag in their flag.
Yeah, it's a nice flag, isn't it? So it's like, we need to make that flag cool again. And, you know, not in a Tony Blair cool Britannia type way, just in a cool way. But Jess Phillips, I wonder what she actually said about me.
Oh, she tweeted you.
She'd literally tweeted me out of nowhere once, right? So how do you do it? Do you go Jess Phillips and then Loza Fox?
Yeah.
Phillips.
If you want to do the advanced search, put a bracket and put from Jess Phillips.
Loza Fox. Oh, yeah. So in 2021, she just out of nowhere, she tweeted, I believe until now I've resisted ever mentioning him, but on the eve of poll, I'll say this. I once saw Lawrence Fox in a play and he was exceptionally crap.
Oh.
All the others were great and he stood out like a sore thumb for his dreadful performance. Oh, look, you commented as well. Kinder, gentler politics. vote Labour. Labour actors are much better.
I mean, come on.
That's
pathetic.
I've got a feeling that maybe what her problem is that she just hates men. Like a lot of these very unhappy feminists.
She's a misandrist.
Feminism is so bad.
Yeah, it's toxic.
I think we should make feminism, okay, this is good. We've got to use some of their tactics back on them. You know how it's like everyone's racist now? Like we should make the word feminist have exactly the same connotations as racist.
Yes, let's start calling people a feminist.
Oh, you're a feminist.
Yes.
How dare you accuse me of feminism? I'm suing you for defamation.
I love it. I've been saying restore the patriarchy for a long time. I think we need to go further and say use feminist as a derogatory, which it is.
Let's do it, everybody. Yeah. This is our mission for the week. When someone comes up to you and says something completely unreasonable, happens to be a woman when they do it, just go, I use this word really lightly. I mean, really, I try to use this word rarely, but I think you're a feminist.
It reminds me of that meme. Have you seen the video of the little girl crying, Daddy called me a Democrat? It's like that.
Daddy called me a feminist.
Yeah.
Feminism is vile. I've been out, obviously, you know, I'm pure and sacred, and I've never had carnal desires of any kind. But I've courted several women prior to meeting.
I remember you dating a feminist, yeah.
Prior to meeting the amazing Lizzie. And the feminist ones, the most miserable people I've ever met in the world. Woke feminists, they're the same thing, really.
I was going to say, how can you be feminist and not woke? But I suppose it depends which wave you're on, right?
Well, I might
some
add that
left behind.
I might add it to Lizzie's plaque things for our new house.
Okay.
Feminists not welcome here.
Yeah. I mean, discriminatory.
But I've got family members who are feminists, and I get on really well with them. We just don't talk about it. We don't talk about feminism.
Well, I mean, I don't get what they're fighting for in 2024, other than the right to call men scum and women superior.
Calvin does it in a sentence again. The Calvin Robinson. Here it is in a sentence. I've got a more complicated one for you because this is about the future. So you're going to have to bear with me because I love that. She just out of nowhere just commented. I remember watching Lawrence Fox in a play once. He was dreadful.
So random.
It's like me.
So she's trying to hurt you. She's trying to be personal.
Also, by the way, if it was the play I think she was talking about, I was dreadful.
Oh.
Right. So this is your one.
Okay.
And first of all, I want you to tell me, well, let's watch it and then I'll ask you my question.
We provide to all of you.
That's a very basic, direct question.
Wait a second.
Times or at least once. In regards to the president specifically.
Hold on a second.
That much you should be able to answer by this point.
Wait, no. No, wait a minute. Ed, please. A little respect here, please. So every year around the president's physical examination, he sees a neurologist. That's three times, right? So I am telling you that he has seen a neurologist three times while he has been in this presidency. That's what I'm saying. I am telling you that he has seen them three times. That is what I'm sharing with you, right? So every time he has a physical, he has had to see a neurologist. So that is answering that question.
No, it's not.
No, it is. It is. You're asking me.
Dr. Kevin Kinnard,
I also said to you, for security reasons, we cannot share names. We cannot share names.
Others he would have met with.
We cannot share names of specialists broadly. from a dermatologist to a neurologist. We cannot share names. There are security reasons. We have to protect. I understand
I
that.
I hear you. Right there for anyone to see.
Ed, I hear you. I cannot from here confirm any of that because we have to keep their privacy. I think they would appreciate that too. We have to give them.
Question of the doctor.
We have to keep their privacy.
It's public information.
I hear you.
Guys, hold on a second.
There's no reason to get back and go back and forth and be in this aggressive way.
Okay. Well, Karine Jean-Pierre, right, on being asked whether there had been 7 trips to the White House by a Parkinson's specialist neurologist to see Biden in a year.
Yeah.
Here's my theory.
Okay.
This is what the left are the best at. They lie to your face, really reasonably and calmly, and they go, I'm not going to tell you the truth. No. Ed. And just lie. I'm lying. Yeah. It's only been 3 times. That's that question. There's several different questions. Ed, don't be aggressive.
Yeah.
Don't, Ed. And my problem, but I'm going to pray and I tell you it's my mission, is not to do what he did, which was become frustrated.
Yeah, because they make you the problem.
Yeah.
They flip it around. They're wicked like that. It's very wicked.
They're so good at it.
I think she is lying because I think it is public information who's visited the White House. And I know that Donald Trump hasn't mentioned the names of his medical advisors before and people who've assessed him. So I think she's covering up. But he's right to push back. But again, we have to police our tone so much. It's like that self-censorship because otherwise they catch us. And that's what she's trying to do to him.
What they do so well, the left, is because they have no sense of morality, truth, justice, fairness, or righteousness, or rightness, is when they're lying, they're like, and also having argued their position as part of an exercise in my own head, because they're arguing emotionally, it's so much easier to stay calm and go, listen, Calvin, there's no need to be so intolerant of people, Calvin. Can you not just, and you're good at it because you just sort of go, yeah. But I get, I'm not asking that question, you silly cow. I want to know, is he going fucking crazy?
And then right there, you are the bad guy. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong, you are the bad guy.
So this is the plan. It's to get some full-on leftism.
Well, it's not even leftism.
Leftist tactics. Yeah.
I think it's more Muhammad Ali when I think about it. If I'm in a debate and someone's really going at it, I think, what would Muhammad Ali do, right? He'd let them tie themselves out. He'd let them run themselves around in circles. You'd let them tie themselves out. Let them get all their lies out of the way. Let them get all their aggression out. And then when they've stopped, then it's your turn to knock out for the knockout punch, for that blow. That's when you say, well, actually, you're wrong because X, Y, Z. You've got to let them do their thing first. If you try and stop them or challenge them while they're in their flow, who was it? The Art of War has to never interrupt your enemy making mistake.
When he's making a mistake, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a lesson for all of us, and certainly for all of our Fox and Father fans as well, who are so loyal and lovely and amazing, is that we've got to, well, I feel for myself anyway, because I don't want to tell you what to do because that's what leftists do, is learn this idea that when you're communicating with someone who's lying, because I hate lying, probably because I'm a hypocrite and maybe I lie a lot, I don't know.
Well, but you hate it because it's a bad thing.
Yeah, but I would have been that guy. I would have been going, just tell me the truth, Karine. Honestly, babe, what happened? But the key is to be like them, is to take that great skill of theirs, which is to obfuscate. Try not to lie. You don't need to lie.
Well, it's just keeping receipts, right? So if he'd have waited till she stopped rambling on whatever she was on and said, well, actually, the evidence is this, this, then the other, or the truth is this, and the other, then that shows her up, that exposes her lies.
Yeah.
Just keep the receipts.
It's an important thing to do. So when you get confronted with the debates, that's what you do.
The ones that I've won, or the ones that I feel I've been successful at, but I'm not always good at it, but this is what I try to do, just let them tie themselves up with their lies and their aggression and their hostility. And then when they've done, sometimes I don't get to speak. Sometimes, I remember back in the early days of GB News, I would just let them go on and on and on, and then it'd be over, and I'd get no retort. But then you're still winning the eyes of the viewers, because the viewers would say, well, she screamed over him that entire time. I wanted to hear what he had to say, it doesn't sound like she's truthful. It sounds like she's covering up. But it's like, well, yeah, she is. So I think the audience always sees through it. Mm. As long as you're on the side of honesty and truth.
Yeah. Well, we just, on our way here from the meeting, we got another free taxi ride, didn't we? You know, we're getting the love of just the average and disenfranchised, which is so important. We do need to unite this thing. There was this, I suppose the question over the reform thing and Nigel thing is the one man band approach going to work long term?
No. Because there are no political saviours. At some point, even the people that absolutely adore Farage, at some point he's going to trip up and upset them and lose some of his core. And that's the problem. So it can't be about a person. It has to be about a movement. It has to be for the people and by the people, around the people. It can't be around a man.
Yeah, so we had...
Because we're all sinners.
People in that room?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, 25 people in the room.
Yes.
All coming in. And no one wants to be in charge of it.
I loved that about it.
It's my favourite thing,
yep.
Which is like you can, if we get the principles right, yep. We set the principles up correctly, yep. And the pledge up correctly,
yeah.
Then you can chop off your head, my head, and we'll all be there to pick you up,
yes.
And B, no one's trying to take the lead.
Yeah.
And nothing makes me happier than seeing the re-emergence of Tommy Robinson in this country.
Absolutely.
I mean, as a genuinely, the more time you spend with him, you realise he's a gentle little soul.
Just a good guy.
He is, isn't he? He's tough as old boots, but he's gentle in season.
You keep saying, I mean, you always say, you can get a lot done if you don't want to take the credit. Mm. That's the truth.
Mm.
The left are so good at it. The collectivists, they get together and support each other. And we on the right haven't been doing that, but we're starting to do that. And it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is good. And we're right. So you must, please do come on the 26th.
27th.
20 fucking elbows. Swear, John. The 27th in London. I think it's Trafalgar Square this time, isn't it? We're beefing up, bring it, and it's going to be a celebration of Unite the Nation.
Unite the Kingdom.
Unite the Kingdom.
Because we are a United Kingdom, or we were a United Kingdom, and we need to become one again.
We need to
stop letting the lefties divide us by race, by gender, by ethnicity, by sexuality, by whatever.
You look at that little weirdo attention seeker, Narinda, walking. She went everywhere she could. To talk about...
She called us all racist.
It's 4 million people are all racist. Now. It's like, well, hang on. If 4 million people are racists, and what is the guy that killed Joe Cox?
But
what's the word for him?
Racist based on what? I don't understand it. I keep asking the people, how? Like, what about voting reform makes one a racist?
Because it believes in like you said, that you, and others were saying in the meeting this morning, it's like we are somewhere people, we're not anywhere people. Mm. Leftists are anywhere people. They believe their ideology could be stuck onto any country on earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why, you know, Islam goes along coastlines and stuff like that. It's like, wait, Allah is brilliant. Come on. Yeah, let's turn you into a Muslim nation. Oh, God, this is a dump. Let's move to the next place.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's why. Whereas we're somewhere people, we want to conserve and protect the values and the culture that we believe in. And that's what James O'Brien will go, oh, St. George was Turkish or Maltese. And
because they're racist.
Bangers and mash was made somewhere. It's like, fuck off.
When you describe Islam like that, it sounds like communism. Like, it's not actually been tried properly. Let's try it properly over there. Let's keep trying until we get it right.
I think there's quite a lot of similarities between Islam and communism.
Mm.
You can't leave it. You have to agree with it or you die. I mean, that's communism for you. And it's why there's such...
Because they're both the work of the enemy.
They get on so well together. And they're both very much man. They're both man-orientated, aren't they, if you think about it? Mm. It's all about... I mean, I just saw some... I'm a bit worried about myself, quickly segueing sideways.
Oh.
Is that on my social media feed, pops up this thing called Go Clips.
What's that?
It's GoPro... and drone footage of the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, you mentioned this.
And it is unbelievable. Like,
your feed's very different to my feed, I don't know.
Well, your feed is just full of saints and nice and nice statues and people calling you a coconut or an Oreo or something. okay, so Cambridge this week, and for how long?
For a month. And then...
Scathos is sorted, by the way.
Is it? Good. We need to sort this after the show.
We need to sort this after the show.
Yeah.
Everyone go to Scathos.
Don't say that.
No, it's really nice. Well, it's really nice.
It is. It's a small island. It's going to be very busy.
Yeah, but just go there. It's lovely.
Yeah, you should.
And spend money there because they almost got wiped out last year with that massive flood.
I heard there was a flood and people weren't happy about it.
I lost friends over that flood. I really did.
Oh, dear. Next month, I'm in Oxford. So this month, I'm in Cambridge. Next month, I'm in Oxford.
That's where you belong. Just going between the two cities. Did that little kid manage to build the airline that flew between Cambridge and Oxford? He was planning on it.
Oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah, but apparently...
It's so hard to get from Cambridge to Oxford.
Yeah,
it was weird.
There was a young entrepreneur, like 17 or 18, who wanted to build a Cambridge to Oxford flight link.
Oh.
So check it out.
Well, I love it. I mean, they are woke cities, but they're still old school. As in, they're old woke. They haven't let the woke take over and destroy it. It still looks beautiful. It still looks like England.
Yeah. I think that's a dangerous mirage, though. Mm. It's like London still looks like London, but it ain't. It's like the people hang on to London because my taxi driver this morning said to me, he said, I said, how are you doing? He went, oh, I'm really happy. I'm leaving London next week.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I'm meeting so many people who are leaving this place.
Yeah, but I don't think London does look like London. Like, it's all glass, steel and concrete at this point. There's still beautiful bits in between, and you can see them through the crevices, but it's all very much modernity now. Whereas, when I say Oxford looks the same, you see the photographs side by side of Oxford 200 years ago, and the only thing that's changed is the tarmac over the cobbled roads.
Yeah.
But I love that they've managed to hold on to the aesthetics of the place at the very least.
Well, the bit where I live in London for 24 hours more, or for who I've been not living in for 24 hours, is just full of little rabbit hutches. And you look at them and I've looked at the prices of a three-bed flat in one of these rabbit hutches with a kind of bath-sized balcony that half a person could get out on. £1 million, best part of.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're prepping people. They're saying, this is where you're going to have to live collectively so that the planet doesn't boil in London. And you're going to have to pay £1 million for it.
Yeah.
And you're going to be surveilled wherever you go. Yeah. And I'm just like, what is keeping anybody here?
Well, I've already resigned to the fact that I'm never going to be able to afford to buy a house in this country. It's just ridiculous. It's not going
to
be a thing.
To be fair, mate, if you wanted to get rich, you probably wouldn't have put on a dog collar.
This is true. But an Englishman's home should be his castle. We should at least be able to buy a house, for goodness sake.
Well, come on, Fox and Father people. Make us really, really successful and famous. No, seriously. Make us really successful. Share the show with everybody. And then we'll be like gazillionaires. And I'll buy Calvin a Lamborghini with a cross on it.
I don't need a Lamborghini. I just need a place to call my own.
You do. You need a place to call your own.
I think that's that is the difference between the boomer generation and the younger generations. And this is why there's so much resentment and so much disenfranchised attitudes. It's kind of like we don't own the country anymore. We don't own a piece of the country anymore.
Private property ownership is so important to make you feel like part of it. And I know what you mean. I've been completely scuppered. I mean, mine was by my own device, really, because... when we got divorced, we'd moved back to London before we got divorced. Yeah. And so the divorce happened in London. And I just said to myself, I ain't ever buying a house here.
Right.
And I put in my tweet that you didn't read that you could give me a £20 million house in London and I wouldn't want to live in it. And that was the thing that most people picked up on. They went, no, of course you would. And I'm like, no, I wouldn't.
No, I agree.
I'd still have to leave it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come down to London twice a week or for one night a week.
Yeah.
And see my family and all of that sort of stuff. But I just cannot wait. And I'm meeting so many people that are moving out.
Mm.
So, you know, leave the cities. And then you read of all the crime and you read that horrible story of that New Zealand couple who landed in LA and massacred on the street pretty quickly. San Francisco, actually, I think it was. And you just think, you know, why?
It's awful, isn't it?
Get out the cities. So you need to find a home, but for you, a home is going to be a church.
Yes.
And it's going to be a community. So there's your list of things that you need are different from mine.
Yeah.
But we all need a community.
We do.
So I'll check
that. That's very important. That's something we've lost. When in these great big skyscrapers and these flat blocks and stuff, there's no community. It's not centered on a place. It's just a it's just a building.
Well, they're human hating. It's like humans are animals that need to be caged and kept in, like battery chickens. Yeah. And you know, you can eat your other. If you're rich, you can eat real meat. If you're middle class, you can eat fake meat. And if you're poor, you can eat mealworms.
Have you seen these videos coming out from America of this fake food?
No.
Okay, we'll get to that next week then.
No. Tell me what.
Because I don't know much enough about it. I just keep seeing these videos pop on my feed of like watermelon that's like,
oh, bendy watermelon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've seen that video. The crap that they put in food. Yeah. Lizzie is a person who is very conscious of what goes in food, and eats. She eats well. She gives a shit what she eats. Whereas I'm just like, I'm McDonald's. This is perfect. Yeah. There is so much crap in food.
To Bill Gates' food, though, it seems like there's kind of a synthetic food being tested on the market. And then I saw something called, was it Apple AAPL? Of this stuff they spray on fruit that's almost about to go off. And it sustains it for a longer period. But it collects in your body and it's carcinogenic. It's not good. I don't know why we're letting people do this to our food.
Because people, well, you know, some apples you eat are a year old and have been kept in cold storage for a year. So I don't know about that. But they used to put wax on apples, didn't they, back in the day to preserve them.
Shop locally, farmers markets.
Oh, that's what I've got. I've got all of it. All of it.
Good.
I've got the biggest shop is like a, you know, a what do they call them in the Bintra then? I can't remember, but... You know, it's tiny.
Yeah.
Like, there's no giant supermarket near me.
Are you living on a Clarkson's farm?
I'm going to do... I'll be doing a bit of Clarkson's farm-type living.
Will you?
I think I'll be... I went down to the... We walked over... The nearest pub... There's three pubs in the village, which is amazing.
That's good.
Walked over to the nearest pub. And really nice. Very simple. Every pub... All the emphasis is on homemade. So he's like choosing whose lasagna is best in the village at the moment. You're like, I'll eat this till the cows come home.
Yeah.
So bliss and heaven and to a new forward-thinking life and a reflection on what we do now. Because as we've talked about before, it's like, you know, Nigel's taking the political fight on. I think ours is more of an intellectual fight.
Mm.
And it's also...
And spiritual.
Is a spiritual fight, and is also to give space for other people who want to be in our room to allow them to help build it, because we all need a bit of a break. You need to find an amazing wife. Are you allowed to get married?
I am allowed to get married.
Sorry, I'm just checking. It's does she have to wear a burqa?
No.
What religion are you again?
Just a headscarf in church.
Just a headscarf. They do have to wear a headscarf in church, don't they? I've seen them. Anyway, I... See, they're not all religions are that different, Calv, to be fair. You know, but
a covering your head in church is very different to wearing a letterbox niqab. Very different.
Well,
one's a sign of respect to God. The other is a kind of oppression of women.
Yeah, and the Catholic head coverings are really nice and ornate and beautiful. Yes. And they literally do look like Mary, from the paintings of stuff lady. Like that. Yeah. All right, well, so this time next week, I will have hopefully got unpacked.
Are you having a housewarming party?
Definitely have a housewarming party. Got to have an engagement party as well.
Excellent.
So we're planning that. And then hopefully we'll be out of the boxes. I've got yet another big court date.
Mm-hmm. God, is it? What's this one?
Family.
Oh, okay.
And then I got an email from the Plod who want to interview me about
Why now?
Because they do. But part of me is just like...
They'll never leave you alone.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm not going to give my address. I won't be leaving a forwarding address in their dump that my landlord has just charged me a load of money. Yeah. So I'll be gone. And, you know, if they want to come and arrest me, then good luck getting past Blaze and me with my 12-bore shotgun.
Yeah. Have all the puppies gone now?
There's been a slight problem with the puppies. So at the last minute, you know Apollo?
Which one's Apollo?
He's the little black one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blaze 2.0.
Blaze 2.0 started off. That was one Eugene fell in love with.
Yeah, I love that dog. That's, right? Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Do you want him?
I would if I could.
So Eugene, at the last minute, Hathaway, who was meant to go to America to Larry, but it was too expensive. It was like $3,000. So Hathaway was going to go to another someone on the list of people who wanted the dogs.
Yeah.
But Maggie started being really mean to Hathaway.
Oh.
And it really upset Eugene.
Oh.
So Eugene was like, I don't want Apollo anymore.
Is Hathaway
I want,
the runt?
I want Hathaway. No, Narinda is the runt. So Lizzie's not happy that I can still call her Narinda. She's really not happy about that.
No.
Anyway, Eugene, because he's got the world's most amazing little soul, he's like, I want Hathaway.
Yeah. Oh, bless him.
And so he's now taking Hathaway, but because he wanted Apollo, he's saying, I've got to keep Apollo, but I've already said I'm keeping Narinda. And Lizzie's already got one of the other ones.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to let Eugene settle in with him, and then I'm going to quietly shift Apollo on.
Which one's the black and white one with the pure brown head?
There's two.
Yeah.
There's the really little dainty one, which is Narinda.
Ah, okay.
And then this what Eugene called Brickhead, who's now called Hathaway. Ah,
okay.
And it does only a tiny way make me giggle just a little bit that at his mum's house he's gonna be calling
Hathaway.
Oh, I just wonder how quickly it's like, do you think we should change the name?
That's great.
Anyway, so all is good.
All is good.
God bless. This was happy.
Yeah.
Well done, us. Anyway.
Well done, country, as well. Well done for 4.7 million people.
Well done, Britain. We'll get out this in the end. We always do. We only have to put up with these ideological utopianists for 5 years, and then we'll kick them out.
Yeah, well, by that time, if there'll be any country left. Right. Keir Starmer said he's going to give 100,000 migrants visas like that. So
that's good.
Is it?
Yeah, no.
No.
I mean, there should be, like, how can't someone just go, right, if you want to become a British citizen, these are the three steps.
Yeah.
First of all, you have to arrive here legally.
Yes.
Second of all, you have to have a skill that we need.
Right.
And third, you need to pay taxes for X number of years.
Sounds pretty fair.
It's like, that's not racist as a policy.
No.
That's just common sense. But ideology hates common sense, doesn't it?
I don't know if ideology does, but the left-wing ideology does. The wokeism or liberalism hates common sense, yeah. Mm. And the idea that someone would want to start their life as a British citizen illegally by breaking the law is just insane to me.
It is insane.
When it's one of the easiest countries to get to. It's like safely and legally. Cheap flight from France costs nothing. Far less than it costs to go over an illegal dinghy with people smugglers and gangs.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Why would you pay a gang 5,000 quid when you could come on a plane? Because you're going to get stopped at the airport, whereas you're going to get picked up with the RNLI if you come on a boat. So you're guaranteed to get in if you come in.
You're guaranteed to get spending money in a mobile phone and put up in a hotel. And
what message does that send people?
The incentives are all wrong.
Yeah.
It's back to front.
It is back to front. And it does slightly irritate me that there are, how many safe countries are you crossing from war-torn Albania to get to Britain? Anyway, let's not finish on a Debbie Downer.
But we won.
We won.
It wasn't zero seats literally, but metaphorically it was zero seats. The Conservatives had their backsides handed to them. They are on the potential of collapsing as a political party if they don't fix their way. The British people said enough is enough. We made our voices heard. This is all good. This is fantastic.
My friend Jeffrey said to me, because we were talking about who the next Jeffrey of the pillow. Thanks, Jeff. He said to me that he thinks that when we were talking about Tory leadership possibilities, he said the most important thing is the cause, the mission, not the party. So he said, Kemi Badenoch attacking Nigel, I like Kemi, but attacking Nigel, ad hominem-ing Nigel the whole time showed that she cared more about her party than she did about the mission. Whereas Suella cares more about the mission than she does about the Conservative Party. And I think we need more politicians or more political voices who care less about party affiliation and care more about what is the mission.
Yeah, I want someone who cares about the country more than the party, and that's hard to find. I think my advice would be to avoid whoever Michael Gove and Dr. Novak, whoever their candidate is.
Who's Dr. Novak?
Dr. Novak's. So Dougie Smith.
Right.
Dougie Smith is the shadowy figure, the puppet master behind the scenes at the Conservative Party. Whoever he backs, Michael Gove will back, because they're a partnership. It's all laid out in a deal.
Why is Dougie being in charge?
Sorry?
Why isn't Gove?
He is. He's realised he has more power behind the scenes. He doesn't want to stand again. Why would he want to be in the House of Parliament when he can dictate from behind the scenes? He will have a candidate that he will put forward so that the globalists and the elite have their guy.
Not a big fan of Michael Gove.
He did some good stuff. He was a great minister for education, but he's a shadowy figure behind the scenes. And if we're going to live in a democratic country, we should have a democratic process that is transparent, and we should get the representatives we vote for, not the people who are being manipulated behind the scenes, whether it's by the WEF or Dougie Smith and Michael Gove.
Yeah, amen. And what Suella Braverman said, it frustrated her so much that she couldn't even take down the pride flag from the building of the department she was head of.
Tear them down. This is my advice. You see a child mutilation flag, tear it down.
Tear it down, yeah. Or burn it, which is what I do.
You've got to tear it down to be able to burn it. So yeah.
I think we won on Pride, by the way, as a finishing point. Another positive, it's like I didn't see so much like rainbow crap everywhere. I was like, people are bored of the rainbow crap.
It wrapped up quite nicely, didn't it? At the end of June, it's kind of gone. The companies are like, yeah, we don't care about the gays anymore. Back to normal business.
Yeah. Well, we drove past the Starbucks and there was a bit of gay girl. There was a gay Starbucks there. It's not gays anyway. I don't associate that with gays.
I just want a straight coffee. What do I have to do in this country to get a straight coffee?
A lot of those American podcasts are sponsored by like Black Rifle Coffee. Speaking of sponsors, we may have one.
Okay.
It's early days. But Fox and Father may have a sponsor which may pay for our cigars.
That would be nice.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
This is another Larry.
Is that a Larry Taunton cigar? This is a Trinidad Esmeralda, and it's
fancy.
Well, yeah, it is. It's fancy, but there are some more fancy ones in there. But
I've seen them.
I'll take the it's too fancy for me. I mean, one a week.
Yeah.
Is, I would say, was profligate.
Yeah. One a week's good.
I've had two this week.
Same.
Have you?
Yeah. I got sent some espresso and cream cigars. They're like dessert cigars. They're really different. I've not had them before. It's very nice. But yeah, Larry Taunton is my cigar sponsor at the moment. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry. All right. And thank you for watching. And have a lovely week. And be happy wherever you are.
God bless you all. Take care.